Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took him for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she walked, when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to his name for his sake and for our good and benefit. So we thank the Lord for this passage of Scripture. And when I studied, as I looked through this text and considered some of the teaching and truth in this passage, the passage I just read reminded me of a story told by the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 10. We all know the story. A Jewish man was beaten and robbed and left for dead. A priest who was traveling along the road saw the man lying there in agony, but did not stop to help him and continued on his way. There was a second man. The second man was a Levite. Also observed the dying man on the ground, and like the priest, did nothing. The third man, however, a Samaritan, saw the helpless man and walked over to him. And we read in Luke chapter 10, verses 33 and 35. And he, the Samaritan, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and sent him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, "Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee." Of the 3 travelers in the story, the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan, who showed the needy man compassion? The Samaritan. The least likely of the 3. Why do I say the least likely? Because the Jews and Samaritans were longtime enemies and had a deep hatred that ran between them. Such was the animosity for each other that the Jews took an alternate route to avoid traveling through the country of Samaria. They wouldn't even go through the country of Samaria. They took an alternate route. Such was the deep hatred between these 2 people groups, the Samaritans and the Jews. The Good Samaritan here in Luke 10, however, did not take an alternate route to avoid the fallen Jewish man, did he? No, he didn't reason within himself, "Well, the Jew got what he deserved," or, "I don't have time to stop and help him. I have an important meeting to attend," or, "Someone else will help him." He didn't reason like that. Not at all. The Samaritan man helped his sworn enemy, the Jew. He had compassion on him. And the Good Samaritan was a story told by Christ to teach the importance of loving your neighbor. And similarly, a real life story of compassion is recorded for us in Exodus chapter 2. It concerns Pharaoh's daughter and her rescue of the Hebrew baby Moses. And we read in Exodus chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, "And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Now, why would a baby be floating down the Nile River in a basket all alone? Seems strange, doesn't it? Well, the reason is because in Exodus chapter 1, Pharaoh had commanded the midwives to kill the Hebrew male children. We read in Exodus chapter 1, verse 16, and he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. How terrible, unimaginable to think that a leader who depended on the help of the Hebrews to run his country would order the murder of the Hebrew male babies. And yet we see this same attitude of King Herod in the New Testament when he ordered that all the children under the age of two be killed because he was seeking the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that Christ wasn't killed. He fled to Egypt to escape Herod. But not everyone obeyed Pharaoh's diabolical command. And it was a diabolical command. It was a command that came from the very pit of hell to kill the Hebrews' children, male children. But not everyone obeyed. The midwives refused to obey. We read later in Exodus chapter 1, verses 17 and 22, but the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. So the midwives refused to obey Pharaoh. So you could say that Pharaoh revved up the command. He said, okay, if my midwives won't obey me, I'm just going to make a public decree that all Egyptians throw all the Hebrew male child into the river, into the Nile, and drown them, kill them. But not everyone did that. The parents of Moses did not follow the command of the Lord, command of Pharaoh. They defied the command of Pharaoh. Not only did the midwives defy Pharaoh, but the parents of Moses defied Pharaoh. And we read this not only in this passage here in Exodus chapter 2, but in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. Listen, by faith Moses, which when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They hid their child because they were not afraid of the king. They were more fearful of the Lord than to obey Pharaoh. So not everyone was obeying Pharaoh. And it's not only these two examples of the midwives and the parents of Moses, but surprisingly, his household didn't even obey the commandment of Pharaoh. The daughter of Pharaoh ignored her father's decree of death. And why did she help the Hebrew child? Why did she intervene? And these are one of the questions that you may ask but never really get an answer for. And the real simple answer to the question is that she had compassion on him. There was something in this daughter of Pharaoh that when she saw this baby, she just couldn't drown the baby. She couldn't bring herself to do what her father had said. Now, she was not a Hebrew. She did not have the privileges that the Hebrews had of the stories that were told to them of Jehovah. Now, we have to understand that the law hadn't been written yet, right? The law would be written later on at Mount Sinai and given to the people of God. But still, the Hebrews had the privileges of being descendants of Abraham, and they were a special nation. They were a special people. And you could expect that the Hebrews would help other Hebrews. But here we have a vowed enemy, someone who is sworn enemy against the Hebrews, the Egyptians. And this person, this daughter of Pharaoh, is in the very household, the very house of her father who commanded this decree to kill the male Hebrew children. So this is a very surprising example of someone who would show compassion. Just like the Samaritan in Luke chapter 10 was a very surprising story that Christ told. And yet this isn't a story. This is real life. This woman really lived. And this woman really acted because she had compassion for this Hebrew baby. So as the Samaritan had compassion on the dying Hebrew man in Luke 10, the daughter of Pharaoh had compassion on the Hebrew baby in Exodus chapter 2. And you can see the connection. What connects the two? Exodus and Luke. Compassion. Love. And therefore, the title of my message is The Good Egyptian, A Study in Compassion. The Good Egyptian. You would say, how many good Egyptians do you read about in the Bible? Not too many. But you do read it here. The daughter of Pharaoh. Why was she good? Because she showed compassion. So we have this subject of compassion before us. I have 3 points if you take notes. First of all, we see compassion sees the need. Compassion hears the cry. And compassion protects the needy. Compassion sees the need. Compassion hears the cry. Compassion protects the needy. First, compassion sees the need. We read in Exodus chapter 2, verse 5, 6. We read that already. She saw the ark among the flags. She sent her maidens to fetch it. And then verse 6. And when she opened it, she saw the child. Note that. She saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, This is one of the Hebrews' children. See, the word compassion comes from the Latin word compate, which means suffer with. Compassion has the idea of deep tenderness for one who is suffering. When the daughter of Pharaoh saw Moses in the basket, she was touched with a deep sense of tenderness and pity. She saw that the baby was in great need. And really, compassion starts with the look. Compassion starts with seeing the need. Seeing someone who is in danger. Seeing someone who needs help. That's where compassion starts. And this is where the daughter of Pharaoh started. She saw this baby, and already in her heart, there was this compassion boiling up, swelling up within her toward the Hebrew child. The same idea of compassion is expressed in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15, of Christ toward his people. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He was touched, was not touched without the infirmities, meaning that Christ, he sees the needs and the trials and the troubles of his people. There's a touching that goes on in the heart of our Savior when he sees his people suffer. And that's where it starts. It starts with this looking, seeing the need, seeing the danger, seeing the trouble. And isn't that a wonderful thing when we go through trials, when we go through troubles, which we all do, and we will, if we're not going through, we will go through trials. Isn't it a comfort for the Christian to know that Jesus sees that? He's touched with our infirmities. He knows and understands what we're going through. And he has promised that we will not leave us alone, but we will go through these trials and tribulations and difficulties with Christ. What a companion to have in trials and troubles. What a companion to have, the Son of God, who sits on the throne of God right now, who has conquered death and conquered the devil, and yet we, as God's people, suffer. He still is touched by those things that happen to God's people. The pain of losing a loved one, the pain of hearing the terrible news you have cancer, the pain of losing your job, the pain and the suffering. It happens. And how does the Christian respond to those things in life? Well, we respond to those by realizing and taking comfort that Christ sees our compassion. He feels. He's looking at us because he's taken a personal interest. He's not detached. He's not disconnected. He's involved. And we know it as Christians in our heart that there is someone in my life outside of me that's taking an interest in me. Don't you understand? Do you realize? We do. As Christians, it's hard to explain. But there is this outside power and force that when we go through these difficulties and trials, there's someone there to lift me up. There's someone there to encourage. Who is that? It's Jesus. That's the Spirit of Christ helping us. And that's part of Him being our great high priest, to see the trials and afflictions that God's people go through. Well, Pharaoh's daughter knew and saw that this baby needed help. This baby was in great danger. And this baby was a Hebrew. How did she know that? I don't know how she knew it. I don't know how she knew it. Maybe it was the way things were situated in the basket. There were some Hebrew things that were connected to this baby. But she knew. And perhaps she knew because she knew that the decree that went out from her father was a decree that was really insane, to kill these babies. And who else would put their baby in a basket down the Nile River and leave them alone? His parents didn't abandon him. His parents were trying to save him, Moses. And he was seeking the Lord. And how all they came about to make this basket and to put this baby on, I don't know how they all came to that method of carrying this out. But that's what they did. They made a basket. They put their baby in the basket. From a human perspective, that doesn't seem like a reasonable, safest thing to do. Does it? Would you ever put your child in a river just to push him away? Now, they didn't forget him. Remember, Miriam was watching him, making sure that he was safe, right? So they didn't abandon him. But you would think, boy, that is risky. It's a risky behavior, risky method. And yet, that's the way it did. Maybe the Lord told him to do it. You don't know, but that's what they did. And when Pharaoh's daughter found this child, she knew that this was a Hebrew. And the command from Pharaoh was to drown that Hebrew baby. She didn't take the baby out and just put the baby under the water. She did not kill that baby because she saw there was in her heart this touch, this sense of touching that came from the Lord. It had to, in a sense, to give this compassion towards this needy child. And it started with the look. The daughter of Pharaoh had compassion on the Hebrew child and refused to comply with the command. What would you rather have her do? Would you ethically say, well, she needs to follow the command of her Pharaoh because whatever he says is law, whatever he says needs to be followed? Or would she rather follow what the Lord commands? She followed the Lord. Very similar to what Rahab did when she hid the spies. Same type of ethical example. And you see that when you are confronted with a choice of evil or good, you always do good. You overcome evil with good. We're going to look at this passage here in just a second in Romans about that principle. And that's what she was doing. She was overcoming evil with good. And she wanted to show compassion. She had this feeling of compassion in her heart. You know, the Lord shows us compassion in the same way. As I quoted from the passage in Hebrews 4 about Him seeing and being touched by the infirmities of His people. Notice Psalm 111 verse 4. That was the psalm that we sang this morning. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He's full of it. He's showing forth to His people such a sense of compassion that the scripture says He's full of it. He doesn't exhaust His compassion. You can't drain the compassion of the Lord. It's so full. There's enough. There's an ocean full of compassion for God's people. And God gives it to them. God flows that compassion to them. But it starts with a look. It starts with the Lord seeing this. We see this in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, when Christ saw the multitude. Notice in verse 36, but when Christ saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You can see the scene here. Christ is in the field and He sees these sheep. These are people. He's seeing these people, and they're all kind of confused, and they have no shepherd, and there's no organization, and they're really, in a sense, lost. And what does the Lord say? He had compassion on them as a shepherd would his sheep. That's the way the Lord looks at us. He sees us. He sees us as those who are in need of guidance and help. The daughter of Pharaoh saw the baby through the lens of compassion, didn't she? How about you? Do you see to the needs of others? When we look at people and we see that the person's in danger, the person's in need, person needs spiritual help. Sinners are going to hell. Sinners are lost and in need of salvation. When we see these people and when we listen to them and when we see them first and foremost, isn't there a chord in our hearts that should be struck with a sense of compassion for their souls? That these people are lost. These people are going to hell without Christ. And this is such an important matter when it comes to the Christian life. It's such an important aspect that love, compassion must drive evangelism. It must drive the whole idea of telling others about Christ. Why do we do it? Because we know the danger that they face. We know they're in great need and they don't even realize it. And yet we, by God's grace, have a message to tell them that in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, all of these spiritual needs can be met through our Savior. Sins can be forgiven. Salvation can be wrought through our blessed Savior. Did you have opportunity this week to see the need of someone spiritually? Someone maybe at work, or someone, a friend of yours, or maybe sometimes even your family members. You know, sometimes your family members are struggling. And you see it. You see there's some struggle here. Well, what am I going to do to show them I love them and to show compassion to them in a spiritual sense? We need to tell them the gospel. I need to have wisdom to be able to minister grace to their hearts, right? That's what happened with Pharaoh's daughter. She saw, compassion sees the need. There are times when we are in a position to see the need physically. You know, financial aid, godly advice. There are needs that come up in life where we see these things. And do we reason, well, someone else will help them. I'm not qualified. Or I can't help. I don't know what to say. And see how we make, at times, excuses for not showing compassion? We're a lot like the priest and the Levite. We just keep going our own way. And yet we don't take the time to say, Lord, help me. Help me to say a word or give something to them, or help somehow project to that person who's going through that danger that I care. I care about you. I care about your soul. I care about how this is all going to end up. Do you have that ministry with people? Do you have that contact? Do you have that compassion? Do you see the need? The world is dying. The world is in need. The people need the Lord. And it starts with the look. It starts with seeing that. That's what happened here in this passage with Pharaoh's daughter. She saw. And that's the beginning of compassion. But this leads to my second point. Not only did she see, not only does compassion see the need, but compassion hears the cry. There's more to it than just Pharaoh's daughter looking. She heard the baby crying, didn't she? We read in verse 6, and when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this one is of the Hebrew children. Someone said that at the moment that Pharaoh's daughter looked at the baby, did the Lord pinch Moses to make him feel uncomfortable and cry out? Was there a divine pinch here from the Lord to give Moses this sense of need, crying out? Maybe there was. I don't know. But I thought it was an interesting point. There was this crying out before Pharaoh's daughter. The daughter, Pharaoh's daughter, heard this baby weeping. And when you look at babies cry when they are in need. They cry for food. They cry to be held. They cry to be rocked. They cry, they cry, they cry. They always cry. Why? Because that's the only way babies communicate. They don't know how to talk. But if you were to be able to translate baby talk here and try to come to put in words what Moses was crying, what would you say he was saying in words? Save me! You would say the baby is crying to save me. I need help. I need food. I need love. I need comfort. I need protection. I need someone to love me. If he could speak. See how that cry has all that in there? There's this cry. Undoubtedly, the baby's cry moved Pharaoh's daughter to have pity and compassion on him, didn't it? When she saw him and then heard him, she was moved with compassion, the text says. God's people cry to the Lord in time of trouble, don't we? Sometimes we don't have the words to say, to bring to before the Lord. Sometimes we don't just have the words to communicate. We cry out to the Lord. And how do you translate or interpret that? Save me, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need wisdom. I need grace. I need power. I need mercy. I need forgiveness, Lord. I cry out to the Lord. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word call means to cry out. I cry out to you, Lord. Have you ever cried out to the Lord? Because of a sense of your need of him. To save me from myself and to save me from my sin and to save me from these thoughts that come into my life. And are not good. Save me, Lord. I don't even know how to put it in words in a prayer. All it is a cry. It's a crying out from the depths. Help me, Lord. Save me. Isaiah 59, verse 1 says this. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Isn't that a wonderful verse to think about? Isaiah 59, verse 1. So when we cry out, the Bible says the Lord hears. The Lord hears our cry. The Lord, when he sees his people cry out from the depths of their hearts, the Lord listens. The Lord hears. He's not too dull. His ear is not too heavy. He's not too busy. The Lord takes time to hear us when we cry. And when Moses cried, the daughter of Pharaoh heard it, heard that cry, and was moved with compassion. Later in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, the Lord is talking. He says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cries by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Wasn't that a wonderful verse that ties in with Hebrews chapter 4, with this, the Lord's touched with our infirmities. He hears our cries. And then the psalmist in Psalm 40, verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Sometimes we cry, but we have to keep crying. Sometimes we have to be patient. Because sometimes when we cry to the Lord, he doesn't always hear us or respond to us immediately, does he? But what does the psalmist teach us to do? Have patience. Keep crying unto the Lord. The Lord wants us to be able to know that we can go to him for dependence and for faith and for salvation through him. And he wants to draw out of us this faith and this trust that the Lord knows he can do it. He can deliver us from all our troubles, but he wants us to cry. Have you recently cried to the Lord from a deep sense of your need? Have you cried to the Lord this week for something that maybe isn't your trouble, but there's a certain trouble that's happened in someone's life, or in a family, or in a neighborhood, and it's caused you to cry to the Lord? This is a terrible thing that's happening. This is not a good thing. Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what the answer is. I'm confused. Psalmist says in Psalm 71, verse 1, that I have put in thee, Lord, I have put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. There's a time when we, as God's people, have to just stop and cry to the Lord for us or for others, or for those who definitely need our prayers. And this is what Moses is doing. He's crying out to the Lord from the depths of his little baby heart, from his little tiny body here. He's crying as much as he can to ask the Pharaoh's daughter to save him and to bring him through for safety and comfort. And we know that when we cry unto the Lord, he's full of compassions. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. His compassions fail not. See, here we have this daughter of Pharaoh had compassion on Moses because she saw the need and heard the cry. And this is what has to happen in the church, brethren, for us to have an effective ministry. We've got to have compassion for people. We've got to love people. We've got to see their need and hear their cry. If the church doesn't see the need and hear their cry, who will? Christ has raised up the church to go forth and to show that compassion and that love that we read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 to those in this needy world. And this world, like never before, needs to hear the love of Jesus Christ. They need to hear God's compassion for their souls. They need to hear the gospel. So this leads to my final point. Compassion protects the needy. See, compassion includes pity, but it doesn't stop there. If you go to a lake and you have a picnic at the lake and you're going swimming, and all of a sudden you notice, you see over there at the side of the lake, someone's drowning. And not only do you see them, but they're screaming for help. They're crying out that someone would save them because they're drowning. And you see that person drowning, and you hear that person, and you don't do anything. Is that compassion? You hear, you see, and you hear? Of course not. You say, I pity that person. I feel sorry for that person. Boy, that person needs help. But what's for lunch? Turn away and give me something to drink. That's, in a sense, showing pity. But you're not showing compassion. What does compassion do? Compassion looks for help. It acts, it protects, it does something. What can I do? Where's the lifeguard? Or let me go over there and throw a life preserver over to that person. Let me try to help that person. And that's what the Pharaoh's daughter did. She not only saw and heard, but she was moved. She did something. She moved to protect this child. She just didn't say, well, that's too bad. This another Hebrew child probably going to die. Push the basket back into the water. Let someone else deal with it. She didn't do that. She didn't ignore the need. She showed compassion. And compassion is active. Compassion does. Not just sees and hears, but is moved to do something. See, Pharaoh's daughter acted to protect Moses, as that principle we read about in Romans chapter 12, verse 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. See, she was overcoming something that would be evil, that would come upon this baby Moses. She did not do the evil, but she overcame the evil with good. She acted, she did something, she made a difference in that person's life. And that's the big thing that I think is missing in the Christian church today, is that we are not acting, we're not showing compassion, we're not doing. We see, we hear, but what are we doing in terms of compassion for those who are lost, those who are needy? What did she do? What did Pharaoh do? Well, Pharaoh's daughter do. Exodus chapter 2, verses 7 and 10 tells us what she did. Then said his sister Miriam to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the women took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, And he became her son, and she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. The Pharaoh's daughter didn't drown the Hebrew baby. Instead, she had compassion on him and brought him secretly into the safety and protection of her own home. Right under the nose of Pharaoh, she hid baby Moses. She shielded him, if you will, from Pharaoh's decree of death. What an act of faith. What an act of mercy and compassion from a person that you would think would never come from an Egyptian, showing this kind of love and grace and mercy to this poor, needy child. This shield of compassion that she showed. It's the same idea that's we read about in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 29, when it comes to the Lord, how the Lord protects his people, how the Lord shields his people. Listen to what Moses says in Deuteronomy 33, verse 29. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, save by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemy shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Notice that phrase, the shield of thy help. Well, isn't that a wonderful, beautiful imagery of God, how he protects his people? He's the shield of our help. You could say that Pharaoh's daughter was the shield of help for Moses. Not only did she see and hear, but she brought him in. And she shielded him from this death decree from her father, Pharaoh. And this is something that certainly we could take comfort in as God's people. That when we know the Lord's grace and mercy in our life, he's like that shield of help for us. We have that promise in Hebrews 13, verse 5, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. See, compassion protects the needy. Compassion goes more than just seeing and hearing, but doing and acting. And that's something that I've been burdened lately of, Lord, give me that heart to not only see and hear, but to do, to go forth and help people. Maybe it's a physical help, maybe it's a spiritual help, but I want to give Christian help to those who are in need. And I want people to know that when they receive this help, it's Christian help. It's a help that's energized and given to them by the Lord. I know how that we need that today, don't we, brethren? To have that heart of compassion for sinners, a heart of compassion for others, a heart of compassion for brethren, a heart of compassion for our neighbors and our co-workers and our family. Oh, God, give me that heart of compassion. Oftentimes I find myself so cold. I find myself so not compassionate. I can care less. Let them figure it out. Someone else will help them. God, spare us from that mentality. Spare us from that curse that comes upon people who don't want to do for others. But everything is around them. I want people to do for me, but I don't want to do for others. Save us from that. See, this woman, this Pharaoh's daughter, shows us amazingly and surprisingly that even the people that are least expected to contribute and to do something, the Lord uses for his glory and for his honor. Little did she know that her son, who she brought out of the river, would become the deliverer of the people of God. Mm-hmm. Little did she know. You never know when you show compassion to someone what that person's going to do and grow up to do for the Lord. She was the very instrument that God used to bring forth deliverance for the people of God. And oh God, oh the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments, his ways past finding out. Romans 11:33. There it is, right here, being applied in Exodus chapter 2. God had the plan. That plan would include Pharaoh's daughter. In conclusion, the Good Samaritan was a story told by Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 10. The Good Egyptian was a real person that we read about in Exodus 2. The daughter of Pharaoh had compassion on Moses by seeing his need, hearing his cry, and protecting him from her father, Pharaoh. May this study and compassion today point us to our blessed Savior's love that we read about in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let us pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this passage in Exodus chapter 2, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that this is a passage that teaches us about true compassion. And oh Lord, help us to be compassionate people. Help us to love as Christ loved. Help us, as Christ saw the multitude and they didn't have a shepherd, they were sheep without a shepherd. Help us, Lord, to be touched with that compassion for sinners, people who are lost, people who are confused, people who are wandering and just are living in this world with no purpose. We pray, Father, that you will touch our cold hearts, our selfish hearts, with this kind of love that flowed from Pharaoh's daughter, that flowed from the Samaritan who helped that beaten and robbed Hebrew man. And that love that Jesus showed when he came into the world and died for our sins on the cross. Lord, teach us. Teach us to be compassionate. Teach us to love. Teach us, Lord, to do those things which by nature sometimes we don't want to do. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.